This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I started pulling my hair when I was about 11 or 12 years old. It started out like I can recall, I think I was in the bathroom and I accidentally like pulled a strand. And I remember like the next time I was in the bathroom again, I recalled that moment and how it felt good. So that's really where it started. Like I tried pulling my hair intentionally, trying to replicate that feeling, and then it all just went downhill from there.
Did you notice that when you pulled out the hair that there was like a root or a little sheath on it? Were you expecting?
So, well, I was a kid, right? So it's natural to be curious about that. It was like, oh, what's this? Like, where did that come from? So I think aside from the feeling, I was also trying to like see if I could get that again, which is why I started pulling intentionally.
Where was it on your scalp that you pulled from? Was it a specific area or kind of anywhere?
By now it's been more than 10 years since I started, so I can't really remember where specifically, but it was on my scalp.
And have you moved to any other areas of your body throughout your life with the disorder?
Yeah, I did. Most of it was like the not so seen areas. The only part I pulled from was like that you could notice was from the scalp.
When did you learn that there was a name for this behavior?
I started really looking into it when I started having bald spots, and like my mom took notice of it. So I started doing research online to see if this was something other people were experiencing. I think I was around 12 or 13 by the time that I was able to finally put a name to it.
How did it feel? And did you notice that there were other people? Or did you still feel kind of alone in it, even when searching online?
Searching online and finding videos to talk about it, there was this creator at that time named Becky. I think she goes by Rebecca Brown now. Yeah, so I found her videos and like I really broke down when I watched her videos because I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like everything she was saying, I could relate to. And I felt so seen because nobody around me physically could understand what I was going through. And they were trying to just tell me, like, why can't you stop? Like, you know, the usual things we hear. Why can't you stop? Like, just stop pulling your hair. You're already having so many bald spots, like things like that. And I think because of the culture, beauty standards and culture in the country I live in, it's also just harder to talk about mental health in general, especially during that time. So my parents didn't really understand what I was going through. And for my mom, it was just me having a really bad habit that I couldn't break.
What would be something that you wish your parents maybe did instead? So for parents listening, maybe they can take your advice.
Well, I don't really know, but I guess something that I wish they would have done was maybe taking me saying that I have this condition more seriously, because it took, I guess, around six years before I actually got help and before they actually started believing that okay, this is causing way more problems than it should be.
Yeah, I so often hear people describe trichotillomania as this bad habit, and it's like, oh, you need to try harder, you need to try harder. And it's like, I'm trying so hard, and this is the result of me trying so hard. You know, I'm having bald spots, I'm missing areas. I do wish people understood that it's much harder than it looks. It's not just a bad habit.
And I guess I actually read the recent blog you posted, right? Where you talked, where you were talking to your dad. And one of the things he said that he thinks worked for you guys was that he never got overexcited or overly disappointed when something good or bad happened regarding your trichotillomania. And I guess that's something that I wish my, specifically my mom, did too, because whenever I went, I used to be able to go for like weeks of no pulling. And whenever she would check in on me, she'd get like really excited regarding me having a long period of not pulling, right? So I guess that also put pressure in my head. And now there's this voice in me like, oh, I haven't pulled in this long. Maybe I can pull a bit right now. Or like it just, it's like there's a ticking time bomb in my head whenever I start to like really, really focus on how long I haven't pulled. And then she'd get really upset as well if she asks me if I pulled and I say yes. So it was really something hard to navigate, I guess, because I was also struggling figuring things out on my own. And I also had to like manage, I guess, how she would react to my actions.
It totally makes sense. I mean, I have so many memories. I can relate to what you said. I have memories of pulling in my room and thinking, oh no, I have to leave my room and see my parents. And even though my dad was not too excited, not too disappointed, the fact like we would make eye contact and like I know that he knows that I know that there are eyelashes missing. You know, like it'd be so obvious because things were missing that even wanting to leave the room was so hard because you don't want to upset your parents and you're not trying to do this thing to upset them. But when you're little, that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned having some bald spots. What are some things that you might have tried to maybe cover those up?
So back then, when it was still like in small patches, I would just part my hair like to the side, right? So I used to have like really, really, people would comment on how beautiful my hair was before. Like it was, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like really smooth, really, really shiny, like just nice hair. And then when I started having bald spots, like it happened really fast, honestly. The way my hair thinned out, I think it got really bad one summer over the course of a summer. And when I got back to school, like I suddenly had like really, really thin hair, right? So, and I was entering the 7th grade. So it was a really challenging time, like navigating through a change in, I guess, you know, because puberty, a change in relationships, a change in period of my life, and having to also deal with this new physically affecting problem that I had that I could not just simply hide because it was so glaringly obvious. And so I would try to part my hair, trying to hide it, but I wasn't stopping the pulling. So it was still progressively getting bad. By the 8th or the 9th grade, it was really, really bad. And I just decided to like shave my hair off and start wearing wigs. Before I wore wigs, though, like I would always wear like a jacket to school and have my hoodie up because we weren't allowed to have caps in school. So I would just like hide with my hoodie. So everywhere I went, I was wearing a jacket, even though it's like super hot here.
Did you have friends that you felt comfortable confiding in about your trichotillomania?
I only started talking to my group of friends about it when I started wearing wigs. So that was in the 9th grade. And that was because I was disappearing from school, like for a lot of times. And by the time that I decided to shave my hair off, that's when I decided to talk to them about it.
And how did those conversations go? Were you nervous? Like, did you prepare beforehand? How did getting ready to tell them also go for you?
Gosh, that was so long ago. But yeah, I was definitely nervous. And I guess since we were all kids as well, like they didn't really know how to respond to it. But I would say they responded positively and they were supportive about it. It's just, I guess, like when you're kids, you don't really know how to bring up the conversations, right? Or like check in on things like that, like afterwards.
You mentioned earlier that you did have some moments, a few weeks here and there where you would be pull free. What are some of the things that you did during those times that maybe helped get there for you?
I think I just had stronger willpower. We tried almost everything, really. The first thing we tried were the boxing gloves at night. So someone suggested that to my mom, so we tried that. But I'm someone who likes to read before sleeping. So that was just getting in the way. And I got so frustrated, I stopped wearing the gloves. What else? I tried fidget toys as well. Also the lotion. But again, like a lot of the things I do involves me touching technology. So it was just impractical for me to do that because the lotion would like get in the way of me doing things. Maybe if you could mention some more things as well, because it's been a while.
Oh, sure. Some people they'll do things that like arts and crafts, little they'll do puzzles or they'll make jewelry or they will paint or do pottery, to like get their hands dirty so they don't touch things like that. But then also there's like the getting outside, going for a walk, making sure you take a nice bath, like things like that.
Yeah, I think at that time, I was also just really too depressed to do anything. So going outside wouldn't really work because I didn't even want to get out of bed or like eat. So it was just a lot of things that were simultaneously happening as well.
Did your trichotillomania ever make you not want to participate in certain activities or go certain places? I know you mentioned you didn't even want to get out of bed, but some things like hanging out with friends, doing a sleepover, were there things that you didn't want to do anymore because of it?
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I wasn't open about my trichotillomania to like everyone, only during high school, especially, only my immediate circle knew about my condition. And I used to swim, like take swimming lessons, like just actively be in the water, right? So when my trichotillomania started like affecting me physically, I stopped swimming because I couldn't hide the bald spots anymore. And then, especially when I started wearing wigs as well, like I couldn't swim anymore because I didn't want to get the wig wet, right? So whenever there were invites to a pool party or like a pool outing or a beach outing, like with people I wasn't comfortable with, or like with other people from my school that I wasn't close to, I would usually just turn it down, or I would go, but I wouldn't swim, right? I would usually just say, like, oh, I'm on my period. I can't swim right now, stuff like that. Sleepovers. There were times like I would. So we have this thing, like a school retreat. I skipped that one because I didn't. Well, aside from I didn't really feel like going, like a big factor from it was my hair situation because I didn't know who I would be rooming with. And usually it's like a big group. So I didn't want to be grouped with like a bunch of girls. And I also used to be bullied by a lot of people in my school. So I just didn't want to deal with that. Aside from that, I really love to dance as well. But because it's a sweaty activity, well, in general, I was just very active as a kid. And because of my hair situation, I just had to like let go of some things, or like it kind of held me back from doing certain things that I used to be able to do, without worrying about my hair. So for dancing, like a big factor for me losing confidence in it as well, and like stopping, was because sweating would basically make my hair stick together, like, and make the bald spot seen, right? And then when I started wearing wigs, it was also still a problem because sometimes the adhesives would come off, or sometimes the wigs I had back then were just not that secure. So I got scared of it coming off. So there were times like I would choose not to do a certain activity because my hair would be a problem, would be a factor in me saying no.
Something that you said that totally like lit a light bulb in my brain was the idea that even to do certain things, like we feel like we have to do different steps in order to do that activity, to leave the house, like having the carefree moment of, oh, let's just go outside and play, that doesn't happen anymore because of our trichotillomania. Like for me, when I was in high school especially, I would have to have my dark eyeliner, my hair had to be a certain way. I put extensions in. Like, in order for me to leave the house and be seen by other people, I had to do like five different things. It was really exhausting.
I used to be able to leave the house like no problem. And then once I started wearing wigs, because back then, the wigs I got needed adhesives. So I needed like an extra 30 minutes to an hour to just get my hair ready, right? So it was really exhausting because if I didn't get it right, or if it looked bad and I was short on time, I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? I can't leave the house looking like this. Do I just cancel? I think I have canceled in the past. Like, there were some plans that I bailed on because it just wasn't working.
I just remember feeling that frustration and like crying because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't get this right. I can't get this right. And it felt horrible.
Yeah, for sure. There's also the frustration of even just ordering a wig, right? Like, I can't get the standard ready-made wigs because the size of my head is a bit too small. So the standard wigs would fall off on me, even with the adjustable straps. So I have to get mine custom made. And the problem with that here is for some reason it's so hard to find a good wig maker. So at that time, I got a pretty bad wig and I had no choice but to wear it because I think the previous one I was wearing, I was having it repaired. So that wig that I wore during the vacation, it just put me in a really bad mood because I'm like, I feel horrible. I look horrible. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to go out. I just want to stay locked in the room because I look so bad. I don't want to take pictures with you guys. And I just felt so bad during the trip as well because I could feel, I knew that my actions were also affecting my family, right? Because they just want to enjoy. But I'm also like not in the position to enjoy because of what was going on.
At what point in your life did you start wanting to share about your BFRB?
I think it was when I moved away for college. Just because I didn't want it to be this huge secret that I would carry. Because it gets so heavy, you know? And like trying to hide it was honestly so exhausting. So because I moved away for college and met new people, it was a bit easier to kind of tell them about it when I mean I wouldn't randomly talk about it, but when the situation would arise, I would be willing to I was a bit more willing to share that, oh, I do this, I pull my hair, and oh, by the way, I'm wearing a wig. Like, it was just a bit easier. And recently, it's definitely gotten a bit easier to talk about to more people.
While you've been sharing, have you met anybody else who has trichotillomania or a BFRB?
Yeah, so I think it was last year. I talked to a few, like, back then I only met them kind of recently, but started talking about it and I was pleasantly surprised when they told me that they also used to pull their hair. Yeah, I mean it wasn't as severe as mine, but hearing that they were like, oh, I do that too. That was very, I guess, validating in a way, because I have never met people in real life that would basically that does the same thing. Maybe not on the same scale, but it doesn't matter because they said that they do it too, right? And for me, I guess that was really reassuring to hear, and it made me a bit more confident to just talk about it more.
And I believe that you shared with me that you shared your experience on a support group on Facebook. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I made that post calling for. So, a quick background. I'm currently studying multimedia arts, and for my senior project, I'm doing a awareness campaign for BFRBs because here in the Philippines, it's really not heard of, and it's been really hard for me to get like proper access, proper resources to like help. Right, like proper access to support. And even the, like, I've been through a couple of psychiatrists and therapists, and all of them seem to be outdated on how to treat trichotillomania. I used to be on OCD meds, like, that was the first treatment for me when I was seeing a professional. So I used to be on, what was it? Sertraline. And in order for that to work, because again, they classify it as OCD here, in order for that to work, I had to take like a really high dose. And while it was helping with my depression, like because I had to take a high dose and because Zoloft is really expensive, it was just making me more stressed and more depressed, like having to see all those pills and knowing that it was only gonna add up even more as time progressed, and just knowing how much we were spending on medicine. And I wasn't really necessarily getting better. So I really got pushed to do the project because I was also, I guess, getting signs from the universe when I was contemplating on it, because I was starting to see trichotillomania representation a bit more on social media. And it got me thinking, like, you know, if Rebecca didn't post those videos back when I was still 12, 13, I don't know what would have happened to me by now. Like, I would probably still be in the dark, still be really lost, and still feel so unseen. And I just didn't want people to struggle as badly as I did with that, you know? I guess my point of the project is to like show a different face, because right now, if we talk about trichotillomania and if we look at resources online, a lot of the faces I see are still predominantly white, right? I don't really see as much Asians talking about it, and I still do feel like it has a lot to do with culture and beauty standards in Asia in general. So I do want to push for more support, more accessible support, at least here.
What would you say, or how would you say, your relationship has changed with your trichotillomania from when you were little to now?
I think when I was little, I used to be really angry that I was pulling. Even up to now, I still feel that anger, but it's not as strong. I think I had like really, really bad episodes up to 2, 3 years ago, where even though I was constantly shaving my hair already, once it grew a certain point that I could pull it, I would just go at it for hours and not be able to function. I think also that's what people don't understand. Like, aside from the physical damage it causes, like, it's so debilitating. Because even if I'm trying to work, if I don't satisfy the urge, I'm literally unable to function or think about anything else aside from pulling. And once I pull, like, that could go on for hours. And I forgot if it was from your content or from the BFRB Change Collective stream that talks about, like, aside from the balding spots, like, your hands cramp. You have really bad posture, like basically like other parts of your body gets affected because of the long hours of pulling, right? So I think the way my relationship with it changed is really when I started talking to Ellen from the BFRB Change Collective, because there were some things that she said that made me, I guess, more aware, and it made me feel less ashamed of what I was doing. And because I felt less ashamed, not to say like I was excusing my behavior, but I guess it's just about giving yourself more grace and understanding that, okay, you have this condition. This is normal for someone who has this condition, and you are doing your best. You're gonna slip up sometimes because that's really just the nature of it. And it's okay. Like, that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you any less of a person. So I guess when I do end up pulling now, I tend to give myself a bit more grace when I do end up slipping up.
That was beautiful. I'm so excited to share with Ellen that you said this. Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the things she said, I was already aware of, but because there was still these voices in my head from my past, like, it was hard to, you know, be fighting against that alone. So when another person comes in and tells you these things, you kind of feel relieved and validated for how you feel. And I guess that took a load off my shoulders.